Herzlich willkommen zu Skandal Alleingeburt, deine Plattform für echte, ehrliche und authentische Geburtserfahrungen außerhalb des Systems, die ganz klar beweisen, dass Alleingeburt kein Skandal ist, sondern der Inbegriff von Verantwortungsbewusstsein, Urvertrauen und Verbundenheit. Mein Name ist Tina Richter, ich bin Geburtshüterin und absolute Befürworterin von selbstbestimmten interventionsfreien Geburten. So schön, dass du den Weg hierher gefunden hast. Und jetzt lass dich inspirieren. So I'm very happy to welcome Thiago today at the podcast. He's going to be the first man sharing his experience walking with his woman, with his partner, Maybrit, who has been on the podcast before and shared her story. And so I'm extremely excited to hear your experience and what you felt and how it was for you as a man.
Okay, for me as a man, I don't know. I'm pretty much in seeing things this way, but I can tell you what is being as a human than I was there.
Yeah.
As a human. It's like, but I'm going to start to speak from the conceiving from Zan, although not the conceiving, because it was something very conscious, and I will get that. Well, we started to work or to try to plant ceremonies like ayahuasca 5-6 years ago, and it was pretty much very transformational. It happened everything very quickly. 1 year we took plant medicine, the other year we left everything behind, friends, family, and we just came south and looking for land to be in nature, and tried to evade ourselves from society, but from this urban life style that we are having, the completely dependent of the money, of the rules of the system.
And so I forgot to mention, I think you and Maybrit, you got to know each other in Switzerland, I assume.
Yes.
And then
yes, in a club.
Yeah.
For dancing.
Yeah, and then you moved to Portugal. Like right now we're talking, you guys are in Portugal.
Yeah, we are in Portugal, yes. And we left everything behind. We have 18 years difference in age, and it has been quite a challenge as well. I always had in my life older women as a relationship most of my life, and then suddenly I fall in love with Maybrit, and it was pretty much, I would say, I'm embracing the unknown. And it's just like that I would have to be, I don't think, Maybrit helped me to be more mature, to apply my experience already where I was not applying it as well. And it has been like a growing up process when you think you have, we never know everything. Yes, and then we found this land, we came here on the land. Yes, and received the call to have a child, and something was communicating with us as well. And even by the conceiving, I always dream about a song, and I think he started to communicate his soul with me as well during my dreams. And then when Maybrit was about to be birthed, I remembered the song and I sang the song as well. Wow. So it's, pretty much, you know, when you live in nature, like we live pretty much off grid, and it's like this, we don't have neighbors close by. The closest neighbor who lives here is 2 kilometers away. And even energetically, and it's like you pretty much feel the outside energies and everything. It's something that comes from the city. You pretty much feel almost their thoughts, strengths, and when you live in this frequency, always in nature. Yes, the part of the to the bird. It was even before my British birth, we had here a friend. She's a midwife. She was helping us, and then we have. It was pretty much a pretty strong feminine energy here on the land. It was like 6, 7 females, and I was the only male, the only man around. And it was, we are pretty much all nervous. I think Maybrit was the one who was less nerve. Yeah, she was very calm. For me, it was an explosion of emotions. Even we get close, even before, I was as well afraid. Something always coming. Yeah, if something goes wrong, then coming to me, oh, if my bit, something goes wrong for my bit, then I'm alone with the babe, with the son, or something, or the, if the baby goes wrong. But I could see as well, it was pretty much as well projections from family, friends, foreigners here. We even had here social service coming with the police. Yeah, because they wanted to see. Yeah, it's like because it was some coming a baby and it was a danger. Someone could die.
But how? That's an interesting part I haven't heard before. So, how did they know that Maybrit was pregnant? I wanted
because Maybrit wanted to. We wanted to. In Germany, it's Röntgenbild, weißt du, von Echography.
Ah, Röntgenbild. Mm-hmm.
I always say this in English,
Ultrasound.
Not an X-ray. Yes,
you know,
to see just once. And we went there. And then after that, it was, I know, you can, must come back. You must do the family plan. You must take this vaccine. You must take this. You must, yeah, it's like, and no. But we don't have any contract with you guys. We just wanted this service and this is it. Like, but after that, they don't let go. They went to the child services, and child service they came. No, you cannot come. They wanted to see how we live, from what we live, from a lot of questions. And then, no. I don't sign anything. So they wanted us to sign that we allow or that we don't allow. And then we say, no, we don't sign not allow and not allow. We don't allow, but I don't sign nothing. Yes, and then they came back with the cops again. So,
wow.
And this is still in court. They never said we put a lawyer as well. And we spent 700, 800 euros with the lawyer to that. But they wanted us really. And then the vaccines, the child must be seen by a doctor. The child must be seen by, yeah, it's like a lot of pressure from outside as well. And is it takes a lot of energy, especially if you live like this here, and then yeah, it's like going outside of here to solve something. It's like a city. City stress is stressful yeah. Situation.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
Yes.
Like,
but things are changing as well, massively is what we feel, and a lot of families are starting to think differently, but very quickly is this happening as well, because as we move on, a lot of parents are seen here in school, a lot of cases in the courts, because in the school now they are putting, they want to take the right of the parenting to the parents. And they wanted to put to the state, to the authority, to the school system. And they are responsible then for, they decide It's like to input values, and they're putting sexuality now here at school at, with four or five years old. They are speaking about sexuality with kids. With 6 years old in the prime school, this is, they are not treating the kids anymore as a girl, as a boy. They are encouraging people to, the boys, you can be a girl, or you can be, if this is natural, but then this is already, they are supporting this. They are supporting this, But I think this is the thing, a lot is changing very quickly and for the good.
Yeah, for sure. Mm. And to come back to, because you mentioned before that you were scared that there was a little bit of, or quite a bit of fear. Mm-hmm. And you said, you realized that those were projections, but how did you, like, did you talk with Maybrit about it? Like, how did you handle this fear? You remember?
I sang, I beat the drum, I did breath exercises. And then Maybrit gave me that security as well, because I went to her and she was secure. She was good. Yes, she was the person who was more calm from all of us. Yes, she was really, because I went to her and I'm a pretty much empathic person. I felt her secure and she was listening to her body, pretty much when the water's released, it's like we were all worried and preparing things and stuff. We are three, not running around, but preparing things. It was already pillows in the yurt by the windows when the sun was about to come. And then these was moments about the sun was about to come. Yes, we looked behind and Maybrit had Zan already in their arms. It's like, what? Yes.
So you haven't. So when she gave birth, like the very moment,
We started to see. I could see the head, but then it was completely. It was okay. It takes a little longer. Then let's move from the bed to the pillows to be on the floor to the pillows, and then it was in that moment that we moved her to the pillows, and then I was taking the under blanket, added, and then you look behind, it was very quick, yes.
Mm-hmm. So for the most time of the birth, have you actually been in the yurt with Maybrit, or have you been outside? You have been with her?
Yeah, in the yurt, yes.
And how, I wonder how difficult it is. I mean, as a birth keeper, obviously, I do have a feeling of how it is to be the person, to be a person next to the woman giving birth, you know, and just to giving her space and not intervene and not, just give her space, basically. But from my personal experience, I also know that it's not easy, you know, to stand there as the stone and get into the process and to hold back somehow.
I think it was about to, she empowered me, she gave me the security, she's secure, and I empowered her. And this is, was, yes, it was not a struggle, not holding the hands. No, it was very, very beautiful. And then we still kept the baby. Till the umbilical cord, and then brass ourselves till the umbilical cord was becoming white, and then I was the one who cut the umbilical cord as well. That's pretty much beautiful moment. We work with plant medicine, with cactus as well, with Wachuma. I went and put the remains on the cactus, on the plants. We bought on purpose granite apple tree, and then we put the placenta there, because in shamanic tradition you plant the placenta in a fruit tree, and that fruit tree is going to be the medicine for Zan when he grows up. If he has a problem, it goes to this tree or to this cacti and you can eat it, and it's good for him, for his medicine.
That's a beautiful tradition. Oof.
Yeah. Yes, and pretty much it was pretty much a very transformational experience. It was not kind of, I never felt it was not a situation I could not deal off during the, because, but maybe this is because of my past experience, not with birds, but I lived already extreme experience where you needed to be calm and steady. And I think it was that as well. And I'm pretty much in a group of people, if it's something, I'm a caretaker. I'm a caretaker. And they were speaking, even yesterday, I've been here with friends, and they were telling me, it's like what I feel, it's like need to be, or in this world right now, it's like, for me, I see myself as a steward of the feminine. It's like, because, it's like a friend of me of Holland says, Tiago, you know, we just need to support our women unconditionally, and they will take care of the world and of us. Yes, and I truly believe this. Like I tell, you know, for my grandmothers, they were matriarchs, you know. But they are matriarchs as well because, you know, if you have 8 boys and 1 husband, they are 9 men at home. You know, it's like you need to be a matriarch, you know, to have all this, you know. But yes, but it was pretty much they were the matriarchs at home. They decided, they knew what is needed at home. The man would bring the money home, and she would know where the money goes. If someone needs something, if the man needs something, yeah, she would know everything. And she would decide, and the man would not buy something without her blessing. Even that was passed to me. My grandfather is like this: look, if you need to buy something, you always ask for the blessing from the women, from your grandmother, from your mother, from your wife. Because if she doesn't give the blessing, you don't buy it. This is disrespectful. For that, you don't ask for the blessing and you go, you buy it. No, but this is, but it was always, yes, this is what's praised. This woman was like a counselor, seen as more reasonable, more calm, more, you know, emotional, more caretaker. She would know how to have peace, you know, between everything and everyone. Yes, like was in this way. And I think this was pretty much taken away, because I mean, I was the first generation who was born in the hospital, me and my cousins, my parents, my uncles, my grandfathers, my grand-grandfathers. They all were born at home birth, and the knowledge was passed on from the older ones to the younger ones. The girls with 8, 9, 10, they would be already assisting to the birds. Then they would know it already. It's like it was transmitted this way. And now I still have grandmothers, they all that, but I knew all my grand-grandmothers and all my grand-grandfathers. Wow. And I lived with them. Because my parents were very young. My mother was 16 and my father was 18. That's why I met all my grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
And now the baby is pretty much is our little teacher, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. So was it very natural, or how did you both come up with the decision to have a birth at home?
I think there was never a decision. This was already very natural that you could see us and feel what is natural, what is good. And then pretty much me and my brother have been solving as well with through plant medicines and other holistic ways, like cleaning and healing patterns, family patterns, in the way, yeah, of the relationship as a man, as a woman, as a couple, as well as human being, as well. Because sometimes we feel that we are still, we never transform ourselves completely. We're still in transformation.
Yeah, but so you have put a lot of work into your relationship, it seems.
Yes. And then when you live together, or people come and go, but we are more here permanently. Yet now in spring, summer, always comes more people, but you spend here alone very long time, only as it's about sharing the same space. And now with the child, we have a youth, and then we have a child, and now we feel like, oh, it's always, he's the captain. We must always more adapt to him, because the sleeping, this is interesting. It's interesting and beautiful as well, but it can be very overwhelming and tiring. This, you must work out the patience and all this. And here, when you live as alone, you cannot project very much. Is his fault? No, it's like, it's us, it's me, it's you. Okay.
There, a question comes up for me, because I feel it's more difficult for my partner, like the partner, to connect with the baby before the baby actually is being born. So, and I wonder how it is after the birth, like how this connection is being built, or how you felt, you know, as a newborn dad.
I felt I already knew him.
Mm-hmm.
I already knew him, I felt. Because I really believe he chose us. Like I chose my parents. We chose them. It's like, and it was very special, because this song that already came, it was that song. I was sure then, okay, this was him. It was him sending me this song, this melody. Yes. I'm just looking at him, I'm seeing him. It's like this.
Yeah,
he's a shining star with so much energy. Like,
yeah, we can hear him a little bit in the background, but it's perfect.
And for us, it's also this thing, these patterns that we don't want to pass on to our children as well. We want them to be free and to let him become.
Let him be the person he is. Yeah, right.
Yes.
Exactly. It's so special, because I remember it. I would have liked to say in the beginning that I remember that I talked to Maybrit and asked her if she would share her birth story. And then I already had thought about, maybe I could ask you, but I didn't, I didn't dare to ask her, to ask you if you would like to share your story. And then she answered me that she would love to be on the podcast, and that actually you would love to share your story too. And now we're here, and I'm so grateful, to have a very, very conscious.
Yes, because I think it's important, because it's like, also these fears is not, it's not only the, maybe, because for me, if she had fear, she doesn't show me that she was with fear. This gave me, she empowered me and I empowered her. But I think the men also have these fears, and it's like, and more, I have a pretty much strong feminine energy as well, I think. But for much men, there's this feeling that you must be strong, or that you don't show your emotions. I cried as well at the birth from happiness, it's also to be vulnerable. I think we all cried. We are here, cried and embraced, because it's a lot. It's a mix of energies. Then with the, it's like really, it's very, very beautiful.
Yeah. So yes. Is there something that you would like to tell all the men or also the women, you know, from your perspective, from your experience?
Yes, I think we must listen. Listen more to our women. Yes, and I'm telling this, but I'm still and seeing myself here and you and Prescott, I'm still saying this to myself. Still saying this to myself. Even still, I must admit, I must listen more. Yes. I think women have another intelligence, emotional intelligence, that men, don't have or that have, but at less tuned with this feminine, yes. Less tuned. Yes. And I think we must support the women, especially if we want to change something, if we don't agree, yes, and support them and listen to them. And they will make the world a better place, I'm sure. I'm sure of it. Mm-hmm. Mm. And I think this is pretty much what is making the world sick as well. It's this patriarchal system that was imposed on us with the church long time ago, and now this is passing on about power and controlling us and our families, and then because of the money, their taxes and their stuff, it's like so many things that we don't need to. Yeah, it's like. The second thing is that, and to not be afraid of making the step on the unknown. On the unknown, but pretty much, I think if you have now a second child, I think, and maybe the experience, I think it's going to be again, maybe another second explosion of feelings. I don't know. It's like, I heard, I have a friend's midwife as well, and it's like, it's every time is an explosion of emotions and of feelings. It's like, yeah. And fear and love and tears and love. It's like, yeah. But I think these days, they really made believe, they made the women believe that you cannot have the child by yourself. You know, it's like, I have stories from my grandmother, the brother from the oldest one, I think it was the first one. She was working in the cornfields. And she had the baby. She had the baby, and 1 hour later, she was with the baby working on the cornfield, still working. She's like, yes, yes, yes. 1 hour break, and back on the cornfield. Yes, like.
Yeah, even though I wouldn't recommend this for any woman listening.
No, I know, but this is like, wow. No, I think it was really because they were working, and it must keep working then.
Right, like, but it's amazing.
With the help, with the support from, yeah, but.
Yeah,
that she was delivered. Yes, it's like
exactly. Yeah. Like she just gave birth in the nature without thinking about it, or because it was natural.
Pretty much, Maybrit was a pretty much example. I feel like she listens a lot and very conscious of her body. And then it was really she was telling me one night before, oh, my hips, they are opening from alone. They are, yeah, it was the body was making itself ready. It's like, just listen to the body. Yes, really. And it was. It was beautiful. I could say I saw it as easy. I felt that it was no struggle. No Zen came. It was not. He didn't cry. He was already but not crying. Like, okay. And I think it was this way. Then we don't wash him up. We let him be with him until the next. Yeah, it's like, it's very, very transformative. And even now, it's like, as a father, I have something now that. It was not there before. It's a kind of fear. it's not fear, it's a little bit of insecurity, but still we are making the move, making our contribution to make the world a better place. And we see the world out there and it's not funny what is happening. And it seems like it gets more worse and worse, or they make us believe to have that we are afraid and we need more security and militaries. And it's like, I don't know. But this is makes me, yeah, I think it's the future of our children, all children. And they are the future of the world. And like, I would see something, I don't know, it's some philosopher, some, but you would say like, yeah, we just need to change our way to grow up our children, to educate our children, because it's easier to do that and make the world a better place than to fix adults, you know, mm-hmm. to invest. Yes, like we're always trying to fixing adults. No, this was generate. We start for little, for the little ones. They are the future. They are very important.
They are. Yeah, but we have to be conscious. I don't, mm-hmm. I can't come up with any other word, but like to be conscious about ourselves, to grow yes. up these children in their own power somehow. Yeah. But yeah, I agree that they are our future.
And yes, and at the same time, is everything happens at the same time because we are not fully conscious. We are working for that. When they come, but then they are here and we must get more conscious, you know, even because then they started to go through our examples. They started to imitate it, understand, in the behavior, in everything. It's like, this is the thing, this is what started to do. And I remember to picking up things for my parents or for my family. It was not very pleasant, you know. It's like, and they teach me to lie, to cheat, to hide. And I was 4 or 5, you know, 6. You don't tell. It's like, I don't want this. It's some, I think, yeah. Some parts are all, I think mostly people that know me, they will always tell me, oh, you're going to be a great father, Terry. You're going to be a great father. And this pushed me all already more and under pressure moment, now I make sure that I must be a great father. I try, but it's like we're not perfect. This is what I see, we can be conscious. But then along the way, I think they make us more, they made us more conscious. They made us, they made us a little bit pressure that we grow with them. So not only they grow, they make us get more mature and to grow as well.
Yeah, as long as we stay curious and open.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, to stay curious and open, this is like, for me, it's like, do not let your inner child die or they grow old. We grow old, yes, like the body, but then maintain curiosity, our inner child, open with new and don't get attached to us. Because we get always, we humans, I find that when you get comfortable or secure with something, when we are more happy and in the commodity, we stop searching for the new one to explore, you know, because we feel more, oh, no, I'm comfortable here. No, oh, this feels good. Oh, why should I? Like, sometimes when life is very easy and very, sometimes it's not very productive, it's not very... Sometimes that's why challenges and difficulties are here to help us grow as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. Do you feel complete, or do you feel there's anything else you would love to share, to say?
No. One of the reasons that I felt very happy to share my story as well in the podcast and with women or with you and with the other men and with everyone is because I struggle a little bit. We have a lot of friends in the holistic community with plants, with meditation, ecstatic dance and stuff like this. But I see a lot of of groups empowering, you know, the sacred feminine, and then and now it happened again as well, the sacred masculine, and this kind of for me it makes me sense, but in other part it doesn't. Oh man, how I can put this, man? Why can I not do the groups, the sacred human, to just be, you know what I mean, the sacred human, to be. It's like, because I think sometimes it's because this thing that I really feel that the world needs to this transformation, that the men also have their feminine side, and this was cut off from us. We have this feminine side. It was just the society demands otherwise. It's not no. This, and we must transform this. Yeah. And this, yeah, is. This is very important. And the women as well, they have their masculine side as well. It was okay, this must be in balance, I think. And we need to work together. And I think it's not something that the women must find out other than men, but we as human beings, we must work together, cooperation, and build a system or a world that we serve each other in cooperation. We serve each other. I think this is the best example that we can give our children, yeah. To live in cooperation and to share what we have, what we have. Yes. Even if our children sometimes in the future they decide to go to have another life, to become something else, I don't know, but then you can always come back, you know. You can always, you know, because I went to the city, living in the cities, but my grandmama, part of the family is from the countryside. And I remember then, my grandmother, one of them, this who delivered on the cornfields, my uncle, they didn't have electricity at home. No gas, it was cooked on the fire, it was land, and yes. And I still remember, and it's not the poor, they would have their own garden, their own animals, they were, okay, but they happiness was around, you know. It's like, mm-hmm. Yes, happiness and fulfillment was around. It's like, yeah. But then they all go to the city as well. The kids were studying. It's always split up. I think the cities are not sustainable cities. And this is probably because, like, we must change our structures in the city of more gardens everywhere. This is very, we must change this. Mm. But now we could keep now here talking about, you know, it's like, I really have the will. I always saying when the revolution starts coming, but I think the revolution must start inside of you, inside of every one of us. This is what must really against this.
Yeah, and we can start with giving birth in full power.
Yeah, that's it.
That's where you can start. Yeah,
to empower women.
And to empower women, and the sacred feminine, yeah. Of women and men.
Yes, and women and men, for sure.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Tiago.
Yeah, thank you as well
for sharing your story. I'm so much looking forward to have more men sharing their story, and I hope maybe you want to listen too.
Okay.
And all the listeners, they want to listen to those stories because I feel they're so important. Yeah.